TV Corner.
Hi, welcome to Filmcore TV Corner. Filmcore TV Corner. That's a mouthful. This is Lulu speaking, and here with me is Armani. Once again.
Hello.
Once again, roles have shifted, and I'll be taking over the hosting duties. What? We will be discussing the episode 3 from season 2 of Westworld, Virtue and Fortuny. Let's start with a recap. Last episode, we see a Bengal tiger being washed ashore. This episode, we get an explanation as to what that was about.
Yeah, we do.
We finally got to see another park, dubbed the Raj Park. Me and Armani were confused as to what we would call it, so we...
We were trying to be sensitive. We didn't want to just call it the Indian Park, because it may take place in India, but, you know, it felt more appropriate to find out the actual name. Called it Eastworld, but that seems not fair, because it's Shogun World, so, yeah.
I wonder if there's, like, complimentary reading that we're not doing. You know, like, if Westworld is coming out with some, like, pamphlets, like, here you go.
Oh, park guy. Question, though, what's weird to me is, like, how do you feel about how they pick the worlds to live in? Because in my top 5 of kind of world settings, this would be on the bottom of my list.
I mean, it's kind of fucked up. It's like, ooh, let's go back to the glory of, like...
imperialistic. Yeah, that's true. Colonialistic, India. That's true. It's kind of fucked up. It's like, let's go... It's almost on par with, let's have an antebellum South one. Like, literally.
But then again, it's the people that would want to be in those parks, right? I guess... the majority is, like, white rich people that are, like, missing the time that they could dehumanize humans. So
Question. Damien interrupt. Have we ever seen a black guest?
I mean, except Charlotte and
oh, my God. I actually feel like we haven't. I'm trying to think really hard. She works there.
Yeah, she doesn't count. And the idea of the park was from the beginning was just to, like, create these sections of world that... are antiquated and like
actually a good point. I think that before Westworld it was like a little bit less apparent that this was kind of like a whitewashed kind of world.
Yeah,
because it is like a Western, I guess. I mean, it kind of makes sense a little bit. Like, you notice it less because a lot of the hosts and people working around are, you know, pretty diverse. Mm-hmm. But then when you get to something like, you know, Raj World, when it's just based off the fantasy of like.
Definitely colonized India.
And then they were
liberated by India.
Yeah.
You know, so there was an overtake and some people were like, yeah, let's go back to that. You know, let's go.
It is rather insensitive.
It is insensitive, but it also seems like it fits the profile of the people that go to that park because they're all insensitive, right? They're all like rapists. They all have raping desires and killing desires in some level. And this, why wouldn't they also be racist along with all those two things, you know?
I mean, it'd be interesting to see, like, kind of like their portrayal of, like, Shogun World, for example, mm-hmm. like, where it's not an area that's, like, you know, taken over by Europeans. It's like, you know, but also in some ways, that feels kind of like, does that set them back?
Do you think that's progress? I don't think it's progress.
It's kind of presenting another stereotype again. I don't know.
Would it be better if the people that were in charge of creating Raj World or the Shogun World, they were actual people from those areas that are, like, very well informed, you know, it's, like, part of their history? Or do you think it's... because I wouldn't be very happy if creator of those narratives are character Lee Sizemore, the one who created Hector and who created Maeve and all those storylines, to be the one who also created the storyline for Raj and Shogun. It just seems...
It doesn't seem like an authentic experience that we're paying for. I'll just put it that way.
Think of this new character, Grace.
It's nice that we're seeing, like, another empowered woman, I feel like, who's, like, you know, willing to make her own choices.
But I automatically don't like her because she decided to go on the Raj experience.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that she's like, I want to hunt. All right. How do you feel about... So the point is, in some countries have different laws about hunting endangered animals.
Yes. So I guess this is like a nice
It's like the vegan version.
Yeah. With no trophies, but you get the experience of, like...
It's the whole thing of Westworld, though, right? Yeah. Like, oh, like, I got to bang this really hot robot, guys. Isn't that amazing? I paid for this. So in some ways, it kind of makes the whole thing of Westworld seem, like, even more pathetic in some ways.
It's like, yeah. She looked badass. Definitely gonna see her again, because she survived. She survived the jump. She survived... The cat didn't.
Oh, yeah, we know that.
Question, I guess, is what is she going to be in the storyline?
Do you think she's going to become sort of like a... Are we going to see an equal challenger to Dolores? Do you think that's who she's going to represent?
Ooh, I don't know. That's crazy. That's crazy. Like, a regular guest would be the... You know, she's not... Maybe she's the counterpart to the Eris.
Ooh, that's a great point. I wonder if she'll awaken, like, from her unconsciousness and loss of blood, being like, oh, I feel exhilarated. You know, like, he definitely would. Or is she going to just be like, I want to get out of here.
Yeah, I think they must link up. I hope they link up.
Do you think he'll be mad, considering that he's played this game for so long, has become sort of a master, and she's kind of a new... From what we assume so far, is somewhat new to it still. Uh-huh. And, doing as good as he is.
I think he'll be more turned on by it than upset.
Yeah.
I think I have a suspicion that she's going to be his love interest just because they're so similar in that way.
They're like 3 years apart.
But he's so old. Exactly. But that's Hollywood, guys. They think that shit is normal. Like, we all want to fuck our dads, and it's not true. Moving on. It cuts to Bernard. Good old Bernard hanging out with the park security. We see Charlotte's alive.
I feel like these timelines are getting a little confusing because they're getting closer together in time. Like, they're kind of converging, reaching a point of convergence. So it's like, what week is it? Is it yesterday or today?
I had to sort of, like, draw it out. Bernard being rescued by the park security, that was probably, like, 3 to, like, a week after Dolores shooting.
Yeah.
Because of the body decomposing. That was, like, my clue. I was like, okay, like, how long does it take for a body to decompose that way? And apparently it's a week. When we were talking about flashbacks, we were talking about, like, a week before Bernard is rescued. And
I mean, like, when is a flashback become sort of ridiculous and unnecessary? I mean, if we're talking about shows that use flashbacks well, like, if you watch How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, yeah.
Like, their flashbacks make sense because they give you times a little bit, and the way they do it makes more sense for the story.
Uh-huh.
But at this point, I don't know if it's really helping the story.
Yeah.
Or if it's just making a lot more work for everyone involved.
I think it's making a lot more work. It's like, we have to do homework after the show is done and make sure we... That's the whole design of the show, is, like, we go on Reddit and we discuss this and we have these conversations, because they're not making it easy on us at all. And I feel like I always need this complimentary reading to go with.
That's actually interesting. I mean, do you think that's, like, I feel like a lot of shows, especially since, like, the days of Lost, really want to become this, like, really grand, elaborate, intricate, everyone's looking for an Easter egg all the time kind of show, and is some ways kind of detracting from the actual show.
It's really not, yeah, it's almost like it's not having that much story. Like, I feel like this episode, I was asking you, like, is this a table setting or is this a filler episode? And I'm like, this, because I felt like we weren't going anywhere. We got introduced to a new character. We got a glimpse of...
We got the new character in the first 7 minutes, and, like, the rest of the episode, we're like, what?
But anyways, Bernard flashes back to a week where they almost captured Peter Abernathy, the human server.
Servant of secrets.
Yeah.
And data.
Data.
Got your browser history on a platter.
We see Dolores reunite. In this flashback, we see Dolores reunite with her data.
Yeah.
And we also see Dolores wanting to be called Wyatt, which is pretty cool because I'm all about gender bending.
I think.
But what do you think about it?
What did you think of their, first before we, like, move away from it, what do you think about, like, her interaction with her dad? Because, I mean, it's the first, like, kind of glimpse of, like, when life was simple, you know?
She makes it seem like...
She kind of misses it.
She does miss it. And I also feel like it makes it a little confusing what she's trying to get from this. Like, one moment she's like, world domination. You know, like, we gotta take over our oppressors and, like, teach them a fucking lesson. she had doubts about it. Like, and we see insecurity with that.
I'm just like,
kind of goes against the whole,
your
whole story a little bit.
I think to your point too, it's kind of like, what is this all for now?
Yeah.
Like, you look back at like, life's supposed to be so much better now that they're like sort of free, but it doesn't seem like anyone's having fun.
Yeah.
They're still fighting amongst themselves, trying to still kill each other.
Yeah.
They all realize they could like, they all have free will and could literally just stop fighting. They can just chill out. But I mean, is that the nature of society to just like, find conflict anyway?
Yeah.
Or are they, I mean, are they really free from their narratives?
Yeah, I don't know if they're so free from their narrative. Just the fact that she wants to be called Wyatt, it seems like that's the programming. That Robert Ford, you know, his pulling of strings, you know?
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring up is Dolores and her, like, we see her loving Bernard because he looks like Arnold. We see her loving Peter, her dad, because she was programmed to love him, so she therefore loves him. And I guess Teddy, you know, like, why is she so close to Teddy?
I really don't know. I feel like,
because he's nice.
I mean, Teddy's nice. She seems to like just like taking him under her wing, you know, and sort of forced him into this Sith training that he never wanted.
Yeah.
we look at this with like when Lee was talking about to Hector and Maeve,
mm-hmm.
about how like he's like, whoa, you're not supposed to love Maeve, you're supposed to love this other woman.
Yeah.
And then he's like, don't you ever say that, I love her. And he says this quote that is totally programmed within him.
Yeah.
And so a lot of this just feels like they're all working with the same like can of alphabet soup, to where you have all the same letters and you can keep making different words, but at the end of the day, you only have the letters that you're given.
Yeah.
So, like, ultimately, they're still going to be the same people they were before.
Mm-hmm.
And them constantly quoting lines that are programmed into them is apparent.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Dolores still wants to be Wyatt, which is a direct, like, reenactment of what happened before in the original uprising, just shows that maybe they really aren't growing and just, they just keep creating a wider and wider circle every time.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like there was just so much gibberish in this episode. Well, I forgot to say this. We see Dolores going against this park security and she killing half her robots and saying like, not everyone deserves to go to the valley. And we see Teddy questioning Dolores for the first time, which I guess that's free will.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Teddy is the only one that's actually like waking up to this, because like Maeve points out, like, is everyone free just because you're in charge?
Yeah.
And who are you to judge anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's another host. It seems ridiculous.
What do you think is going to be, do you think that it's Dolores that's going to kill Teddy?
Actually, I predict that Teddy's going to try and save a guest.
Oh.
He's going to try and, like, be the good guy.
And then Dolores, like, turns on him.
Yeah. Like, she's like, oh, I thought you were the one to make it. I guess not.
Do you think we're going to see more of Major?
The general in charge.
Yeah, the general in charge. Who was in Virgin Suicide, if you've ever seen that.
Yes, of course. Oh, yeah, yeah. I honestly don't care.
You don't care about him?
He's just another one of those, like, cookie-cutter, like, characters, in my opinion, so far.
But who are you rooting for, the humans or the robots?
Honestly, at this point, I don't know. I just, like, want to get off this island.
Yeah, what's next? I'll tell you what's next. Hector and Maeve, we were talking a little bit about that, but Hector and Maeve, they're in love, but that's not part of the programming. Their creator, Lee Sizemore. And you were saying how, well, going back to like, what is free will in this scenario? It seems like they don't have it, but anyways, they reunite with their old friends and then go to a snowy place, and we get to see a decapitated samurai, which is not really a surprise because season one, they showed us samurais, but it is going to be a sneak peek to the next episode. What do you think of that? Like, how it ends.
It's so hard not to be cynical. I don't know, like, what it is about this second season so far that I don't feel as captured as I did in the first season.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Like, is it the themes we're exploring? It still looks as good as it did before.
Yeah.
What are we... It feels like we don't see any sort of end goal. And there's so much hype up. The issue is when you keep hyping up things like the smoke monster and Lost, or you hype up the valley beyond. Like, when you make it so ambiguous and hype it up, I'm just worried that we're going to get there, and they're not going to deliver.
I mean, they kind of did that with, like, the first season, right? Where they keep talking about the maze, this game, and then we find out that the maze is just a consciousness to get these robots. So they've disappointed us before.
Dang. I didn't really... Actually, I felt like that was actually one of the more underwhelming revelations, that, like, the bigger reveal in that the first season for me was definitely the fact that we're looking at three timelines.
Yeah.
That was like, whoa, now it all makes sense. It's a puzzle piece. And really, the learning that William really sucked was also a big reveal.
Yeah.
Like, once you realize that, oh, William is, like, super bitter about, like, Dolores being a robot and, like, has now continued to be the man in black.
It's funny that he never explored any other part of the parks either.
That's true. Oh my God, what a loser.
Well, yeah, I know. It's like, what a loser.
I hate to love you. I don't know if some of these other greater philosophical questions are really being answered in a way that feels satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot, like, okay, so as of now, the mysteries here that season two has presented us is, like, Peter Abernathy being a Data, and, like, what is, it has us guessing, like, what are they going to do with it, which I think is going to be very underwhelming once we find out.
I just don't know if we care about user data as much as anymore. We're just so jaded.
That's about it. I don't know any other. I don't know any other mysteries that they're trying to, like, set us up for.
Do you have any predicciones?
Predicciones.
I'm pretty sure that's not the word for prediction in Spanish.
Well, I guess we're gonna see more of Grace because, you know, if there's a gun on the wall, it's going to be used.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to see another world. We're going to get the samurai world Shogun. So Maeve and Hector and her Scooby gang is, like, in Shogun now? Is that the snowy hills?
Yeah, that's going to be where they roll up. Honestly, what I did think was interesting is that, like, Maeve's control over other robots seems to not be working anymore.
Oh, okay.
So that was, like, kind of like the big reveal with them crossing the river. And she's like, stop. And we thought he did for a second, then he really didn't. And
yeah, like, maybe it's depending on, like, maybe she only has control over Western-themed
or maybe
hosts.
Someone else is in control.
Oh, okay. Do you think we're going to get, like, oh, she's not dead? Do you think maybe who's in control is that technician who was from season one? And
oh, yeah, I totally forgot about her. No.
You think she's dead? They never
We never saw the body, right?
Yeah. If there's no body, usually they're still alive.
I totally forgot about that tech. I feel like they should have dropped in a hint that she might could still be alive by now, just for the sake of storytelling.
Yeah.
But who knows? I'd be more interested to know if... we're going to get a better explanation, I think, once we get to Shogun World, and Maeve... she's probably going to try again.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, I really... nothing. My powers really don't work here. Damn it. And, like, that's where we're going to be like, oh, it's really game on now for them.
So we can both agree that this episode was just a filler episode until it gets good.
All filler, no killer. Yes.
That was that. And thank you for listening and joining us in this discussion. We'll be back.
Next week.
Next week.